Tennessee a 71-0 winner over Kent State in a game where Tennessee broke several different modern era records offensively. For the fourth straight game dating back to last football season, Tennessee has not allowed an offensive touchdown. Brent Hubbs, this was pretty much exactly what we thought it would be, a really bad football team, and a pretty good football team got together here on Saturday.
Yeah, they did, and that's a great way to put it. I mean, a good football team in Tennessee, a bad football team in Kent State. What did we learn? We learned that Kent State left with $1.5 million. Their AD wanted to play a full second half, and Tennessee got through it relatively, I think, injury-free. It's on to Oklahoma.
We also learned Tennessee's a mature enough team to be able to go in there and put a team away like that and not kind of just sleepwalk through it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that Tennessee was at peak intensity, but give them credit, they were ready to play. I think they could have sleptwalk and still won this game 45-7 or whatever. But to your credit, Austin, both sides of the ball came out ready to play and got it done and got to the house. I mean, now, Nico ran too many times for me in this game. They got away with it.
I agree with that.
Too much running there for him. But again, I mean, you know, you did what you needed to do. You got through it unscathed. I think the interesting thing moving forward, we're going to dive into some young players because there's some young players we need to talk about who got a lot of playing time, which is really healthy for them. Some young players that are going to be able to help this team this year, in my opinion. But I think, you know, the question you have to ask yourself is what are the value of these games when you're talking about future scheduling? What does that look like on down the road? And that's probably a topic for another day. But it's hard to say, boy, there's a lot gained from this other than a bunch of young guys got to play football and have a good time playing some football.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, I think I said this earlier in the week. I mean, there was going to be nothing about tonight that would give me more, you know, motivation saying, oh, Tennessee did that on Saturday, meaning they can do that well against Oklahoma. I mean, it's just kind of the nature of the opponent, but at the end of the day, you played good defense, you ran the football. Austin, Tennessee ran for 456 yards, 1 yard away from three players reaching the century mark. Dylan Sampson, again, in just limited work, 101 yards, four touchdowns. Deshaun Bishop, on seven carries, led the team in rushing, 120 yards, two touchdowns. Peyton Lewis, I thought, looked great in the third quarter. Tennessee ran the football well, and Peyton Lewis is one of those young guys that Brent's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tennessee, for the second time in 3 weeks, put up 740-plus yards. I mean, like, they continue to just to you know, thrive no matter who's in the game against them. They've got a hungry young group that want to play, and they're enjoying getting the opportunity to play, and they continue to make plays when they're in the game, no matter who's in there. You know, I mean, you look at me, Farouk, I think, what led them in tackles. I mean, at one point he was leading them in tackles. I don't know if it finished that way. You know, Tennessee just, you know,
he did.
You know, Peyton Lewis, 99 yards, looked good doing it. You know, they were able to get him loose, as Brent said. Deshaun Bishop, he's still a young kid, right? I mean, he's a redshirt freshman who hadn't really played in a year and a half until the start of the season. And, you know, he continues to thrive. And I thought getting Mike Matthews going tonight was big. You watch him on that kick return, and then you watch him on a couple of those catches, and – you see why the coaching staff believes he's going to play this year now that he's fully healthy, got that hamstring going. And by the way, I love Boo Carter on punt return. I just think he sees it the best out of any of them, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to go to him. I think they'll keep Squirrel back there. But I love Boo back
there. Acceleration,
too. I just think he sees it. Yeah, I mean, he just
– yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I've said all offseason that's where I wanted them to go with him. And I think Squirrel's done a solid job out there. I don't think he's done a bad job. I would not put Jermod McCoy back there because he's your best corner. And
you have three corners that you feel comfortable playing. So yeah, like
You know, I mean, I'm fine with that one. So I mean, I think Squirrel can continue that. But I mean, getting Mike Matthews on the field. Let me say this about the veterans before we get to these young guys. And Eric, you were talking about it to me before we started recording the podcast. I'm not sure if everybody really appreciates Dylan Sampson as a football player. Dylan Sampson's a really good football player.
Yeah. He is. I mean, he runs hard. He sees it. He's a great leader. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when he was a freshman and, you know, hearing that he's one of the better leaders on the team. And then, of course, he was in the leadership council last year. Now he's, I think, on that council with the SEC. But he goes out there and plays hard. And I don't think it matters who you're playing, whether it's Kent State, whether it's NC State, whether it's Oklahoma next week. He's going to give you everything you got. He's so dynamic. I mean, he didn't catch the football much. They didn't throw it to him out of the backfield tonight, but he can do that outside, inside. I mean, it's just like he's been an afterthought for so long because you've had Jalen Wright and Jabari Small. Now he's the leader of the clubhouse, and he's a true RB1, and you're almost reminded, like, oh, yeah, he's done that before, but now we're just seeing it more often. Like, he's really good. I think behind Dylan Sampson, Tennessee can win a lot of games this year.
They asked him after the game, like, what's been the key? And he goes, got more opportunity. I'm a starter now. Yeah. I took advantage of the opportunities given a year ago when I got in the game, which is why he had so many touchdowns for a third-string back. But, I mean, the guy is halfway through three games to the single-season touchdown record at Tennessee for rushing touchdowns. Halfway through three games. So he's got, you know, and that'll count all the postseason if Tennessee's, you know, they're going to go to a postseason regardless of what happens. But, I mean, the guy's going to have real opportunities to set a record or two here.
Yeah, he's a lot more physical than I think anybody wants to give him credit for. Mm-hmm. But he got popped really good
on
one run, and he was spun out of it and bounced off of it, and away we go. I mean, he's fun to watch play. I enjoy watching him play the game of football the way he plays. So hats off to him. Now, you go to some of these young guys. You mentioned Mike Matthews, getting him going, I think was big. And what does that rotation look like? What all happens there at the receiver position? You know, we'll have to wait and see what all that is moving forward. But they've got a lot of options there, just like they've got a lot of options on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you know, Jalen Smith, again, played, was fine. Edward Spillman got an opportunity. I think Spillman's going to help him on special teams. I don't know how much he helps him at linebacker. I still think they're playing really well at the linebacker position right now. You know, as Josh Heupel said on Vol calls Wednesday night, their eyes have never been better. I mean, he loves where their eyes are and how well they're seeing things. And it helps when your defensive line is winning the way it is. It frees guys up to go make plays. But they have a lot of parts. They have a lot of parts on this team.
You said on the two-minute drill, this team's ready for tougher challenges. Mm-hmm. And I think most of it's because, I mean, like, no offense to these teams they played, and obviously they beat Kent or beat NC State handily last week in a non-conference matchup. But, I mean, Keenan Peely, I mean, he's ready to roll, right? I mean, he's coming out after a handful of snaps. I mean,
he's a good football player.
Pierce played more tonight just because they were without, you know, Caleb Herring and Jordan Ross.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, like, it was like
he got held so bad on that one. He was going to get his sack tonight. that left tackle held to save his quarterback's fate tonight because Pierce beat him bad off the line of scrimmage there and was going to get his sack. But I think this team is ready, you know, to go play a full game and see where the, you know, go see where they're at.
Here's the other thing you got to think about. Like, to put this in high school terms, I always, you know, you get a good high school team, let's say Maribel. They played so many guys in the second halves of games that kids that were freshmen all of a sudden weren't freshmen anymore, right?
Yeah.
Tennessee, I mean, like, look at William Satterwhite. He's got three games of quite a bit of football, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been out there and played, and he's going to be better for it a year from now.
I mean, look at Georgia. Georgia's, you know, done that the last couple of years.
Correct. Yeah. That's a perfect example. And I'm not saying Tennessee's to that point yet, but the way they're beating teams has allowed them to start, and the fact they're actually rotated this year has put them in position to where, like, some of these kids are going to continue to, you know, thrive, and they're going to be a little bit ahead of the curve, you know, a year from now. You know, we'll see what the rest of this, you know, schedule holds. I mean, you know, they're going to have more opportunities to play some of these young kids, because I think Tennessee's good enough to where they're going to be able to beat some teams. And Mississippi State now lost to Toledo, and did so in decisive fashion.
Yeah, they got.
It wasn't that they just lost; they got hammered at home. And yeah, you know, Mississippi State's going to come here. Kentucky rebound night; they played Georgia close. We'll see where they're at. I mean, they still only scored 12 points. I mean, Georgia, you know,
Georgia had a bad night. But hey, give Kentucky credit; they got off 100%. The deck after what happened to them last week, and. Obviously, I mean, South Carolina's not bad, and LSU's got issues, and, you know, they played in a good game, and, you know, back and forth type affair. I just think, I mean, obviously this team is deep in a lot of places, but there's some places they can't have injury.
Quarterback.
But, yeah, who's
quarterback, safety.
I'll continue to say, if they needed him in a pinch to close out a game against somebody that's not probably Alabama or Georgia, you know, Gaston Moore can get it done. Like, he's got a little moxie to him.
Well, I here's the thing, and this is why you have to take full advantage of these types of games, and I think Tennessee's done a good job of that. Again, Nico, maybe a series too long, certainly running more. But they got guys out of the game early in this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much more under control did Gaston Moore seem tonight than he was against Chattanooga, right? And not that he was out of control against Chattanooga, late with a couple of balls, everything was kind of fast. Much more under control tonight. How much better was you think Satterwhite probably played tonight? I mean, they ran the football, obviously, well with that backup line in there. I mean, to be able to play for those guys, and look, we can talk about whether you should pay $1.5 million for a team like this to come into your stadium, and that's a show for a different day. But for those guys to get to play, Eric, twice in 3 weeks coming out of fall camp, is a real opportunity for them to grow. Because for some of them, they're not going to see the field most likely again until maybe UTEP, you know, down the road. But to get to play that much football twice, or really 3 weeks when you look at the blowout last week, for those guys to get to play that much this early in the season really is a kickstart for their continued engagement this year and their growth and development.
Yeah, and again, you never know when you might need them. I mean, the two guys you brought up right there, I mean, you're one injury away at quarterback where Gaston's going to have to step in and play. And he had 24, 25 snaps against Chattanooga. I don't know how much he played tonight, but he looked really good. That deep ball down the sideline, I guess it was to Thornton, I think. Beautiful throw. He looked in control. And then Satterwhite, it looks like he is the backup center. And it's probably because he's been getting a ton of reps and a ton of opportunities and taking advantage of those opportunities the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, they're getting better. They're developing. They're staying engaged. And they're having fun doing it in some games like this. And it's not too far removed from fall camp as well, where, like, you're repping a lot, and then you go step into playing. A lot of times, like, you rep a lot in fall camp, and then, like, if you're a backup, you don't play an awful lot until one of these blowouts. Well, Tennessee's had three blowouts to begin the year.
Well, for a lot of those guys, I mean, if you don't have that opportunity, you go through fall camp, it's all your install, you're learning all your system, and then all of a sudden you're the scout team guy, and you're running somebody else's stuff every day in practice, and you don't get a ton of your stuff. You know, particularly in team period. Well, for them to get this much work this early in the season, I mean, there's a lot of guys smiling leaving the locker room who are trying to take full advantage of those opportunities.
Let me ask you guys this: we didn't even talk about it up in the press box, but I don't know if you had information on the call, but you know, apparently Cole Kublik said on the broadcast about the onside kick that Mike Eckler wanted to try this week, and they've been repping and everything. What do you think about that onside kick when Tennessee was up? I don't know, 28-0, 35-0. There was a hole there, and they've been repping, and they wanted to try it. I was shocked that they were in an onside kick in that situation.
Well, I think it was predetermined that they were going to do it regardless. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where they wanted the opponent to have something else to think about.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, why are you running five Utah passes the first 2 weeks? Okay, we're giving somebody something to think about.
They ran a four-wide set tonight.
You know, I mean, you're trying to put enough things out. I mean, listen. All coaches think that way, but Josh Heupel thinks about all of that stuff. I'm telling you right now, there will be a coaching point made because there was a late substitution tonight and the linebackers ran off the field too fast and ran back on the field too fast to where they didn't force Kent State to have to call a timeout because they didn't pull the Elijah Slim and slow roll out there like we saw at NC State. It'll be a coaching point in team meeting. Because that's the finite detail that you get into. Should he have onside kicked it up 30-0? I don't see the point in putting that on film for Oklahoma.
You're paying $1.5 million to come here. Allow Tennessee to get their work in. That's the way I do it.
I'm not like, oh my God, this is a travesty that you did it. Is there a great benefit?
You can't be real mad when you were unwilling to let them run a faster clock.
I don't think Kent State was mad at it. I mean, you know, dude. Was I surprised they did it there?
Sure, again, like you just
don't. But then, you know, because then you see, okay, it was predetermined. It was something they wanted to see, you know, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like they went out there and randomly decided to do it on their own. It was something they were obviously planning on doing in the game because it's something they saw and they wanted to rep it, give Oklahoma a look at it. And
that makes sense.
Whatever. I mean, you know, do I love it? Do I think it's the greatest move in the world? But. No, but I mean, just like, at the same time, too, I mean, they could have tried to score 100 points in the second half when Kent State wouldn't shorten the game, and Josh Heupel shortened the game for them.
Yeah.
I mean, he shortened the game and got out of there.
Two field goals.
Because he wanted to go home. He wanted to go home and get his kids off the field and get everybody healthy.
Tennessee a winner tonight, 71-0. Again, a couple of different modern records are broken. But the most important thing is Tennessee, it seems like, got out relatively healthy And conference play begins next week. And a big challenge, Austin. We'll talk about it all week long, but it's a huge challenge on the road against an Oklahoma team that you're not too familiar with, but competition's going to go up. The atmosphere and the spotlight's going to be on you. How do you handle that?
Tennessee's going to be the favorite in this game.
Yeah, no doubt. But like, how are you going to handle that environment? It's going to be the story this week because Nico's never played in that before.
Yep, you're right. I mean, no road game in high school prepares you for that and you know, at Oklahoma. And again, I think the defense travels, and I think that's what you got to lean on. And that running game, you know, will travel. So I think you got to lean on that as well and, you know, sprinkle in Nico being Nico. That touchdown pass he threw to Brazel was it was pretty.
It was for
what was a broken play, as he said.
Yeah, I mean,
because they thought they jumped.
Yeah, that throw was really good. He threw a deep dig or square in to Chaz Nimrod. That was a really good throw. But as Pat Ryan said on the Ball Network broadcast tonight, he did some really good things. He threw some good balls, and then he threw a couple stinkers too. I mean, that guy was jumping the out here on Broom McCoy. Good corner there. That's a pick six the other way. So there's plenty of lessons to learn moving forward. And, you know, there's getting a little book on Nico, how our team's going to, you know, play him now after having three games of tape and what's the adjustment, all those types of things. That's the next phase moving forward in the development of him and the development of this football team.
All Vols here tonight, 71-0 over Kent State. Tennessee is 3-0. Heads into SEC play in Norman, Oklahoma next week. Stay tuned to VolQuest.com. We got plenty of recap of this football game, some stuff from recruiting this weekend, all that and more, all on the website at VolQuest.com.